Today in our hot seat, we have David Brackett, founder and CEO of Linguava. Hello, David. Good to have you.
Hello, you both. Good to see you all.
Good to
Thanks
have
having
you,
me.
David. Are you ready for it? Shall we do this?
I'm ready. Let's jump on in.
Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers. Our hosts today are Nimzeh Ingabunen, Chief Growth Officer, and Sarah Hickey, VP of Research.
So David, in one sentence, tell us, what is it actually that Linguava does?
Linguava specializes in medical interpretation and translation services. Our main mission is to improve patient experience and health outcomes.
I was wondering, when you were a kid, were you already into medicine? Did you dream of becoming a doctor? Or I see in the background some guitars there. Did you think you would become a famous musician? What was the first career that you dreamed of?
You know, as a kid, I was really into sports. So those were like, when I was a little kid, those were the first, I guess, initial dreams. Saw myself playing professional basketball or something like that. But quickly, as I got to about like 12 years old, my dad was an entrepreneur. My grandpa was also an entrepreneur. He had his own clothing business. My dad had his own lumber company. And my dad helped me when I was 11 years old start my first company, which was just going door to door and selling, painting the address numbers on the curbs of houses. So that was really what opened up my eyes to what running a business kind of could look like. And I went around and $10 a house, and I ended up being able to buy my first car with that money. So that was pretty wow. Cool, eye-opening experience for me as a little kid to see what business could do.
Well, now as an adult, when you're not working, if that ever happens, how do you like to spend your time?
Yeah, well, I'm not working, you know, family first. And I've got a little 1.5-year-old. I love hanging out with him and my wife, and the guitars here as much as I can. And I just took up at the beginning of this year jiu-jitsu as well. So that's a totally new thing for me, but it's been really, really fun and learning a lot and really enjoying it so far.
Fantastic.
That's so cool. I've been thinking of picking that up actually. So curious to hear what your experience was like.
You should. It's great. Yeah. There's all different experience levels and everyone's very supportive. It's a really cool community. I'd highly recommend checking it out.
Awesome.
That's really great. Jiu-jitsu, is that originally Japanese?
Yes, it's originally Japanese. Yeah, a lot of people think about, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. It started in Japan and then kind of made its way to Brazil, and then they took off and ran with it more, but it originated in Japan.
Okay. And if you were given a chance to visit three different countries, would Japan be one of those, or which ones would you choose?
It would actually. Japan would be one. I've never been, and I love Japanese food. It's my favorite kind of food. So I would have to go visit Japan. Spain would be the other one, because I used to live in Spain and I love Spain, love the culture, music, obviously everything. And then the other one would be a little different. It would be Fiji, which I've never been as well, but that's been on the bucket list for quite some time.
Nice.
Yeah, that's three really nice choices. Mm-hmm. And well, the last question on my end is, what's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Best piece of advice I'd have to say was from Tony Robbins' quote, which says, where focus goes, energy flows. So where we put our attention, our focus, our mind, that's where we're going to see the progress and the advancement. So if you think about what are we focusing on, that's what we're going to end up feeling. That's going to end up being our reality. So I really like that quote.
Yeah, I like it because often also I feel like our focus gets diverted too much. You know, we're all trying to multitask and all these studies show you can't actually multitask. You're just like briefly focusing on different things and then the outcome is not that great. So it's good to focus on one thing at a time. You achieve better outcomes as well.
I believe that. Yep.
So true.
Okay. Yeah. So David, we already got to know you a little bit better now. We learned a bit more about who you are. But those were not the tough questions yet, of course. So, you know, we're going to crank up the heat a little bit and get into the business side of things here. First and foremost, since you're one of the founders we have on the show, we don't always have a founder. What inspired you to start your company?
What inspired me to start Linguava was really out of the pain that I first experienced firsthand as a Spanish medical interpreter. I was working in the Portland area for an agency, and I absolutely loved what I was doing. I was very passionate about the role as a medical interpreter, and I was meeting other interpreters in the field that were equally as passionate and really, really getting to see the impact firsthand as an on-site medical interpreter. I was doing some telephonic as well. And well, what I also experienced simultaneously was very painful in that I had, you know, checks bounce from the company that I was working for, which was a common occurrence. I found out with many other people, there was no real communication between the interpreters, the agency, the medical providers, and ultimately the patients that were receiving the services suffered the most. So everyone was kind of out on their own little island. So I thought, gosh, what if there was a company that really brought everyone together, provided better communication, provided better training for providers on how to work with interpreters, and ultimately formed more of a community with all the different entities. And that was the goal with Linguava when we started, but it really came from my painful experience that I had.
I like those kinds of stories when it has a personal background for you as well, you know, and that you are also an interpreter, that you have that background, because I think that adds a lot to any company providing a service in a certain field when you can really relate. And I agree. Yeah. I feel like especially in medical interpreting, it's so crucial to have a good service for the end user. I was stuck in that situation before myself, and it's scary, you know, you feel very helpless. So it's important to have good services at hand. Yeah.
100%. Yep.
So then when you started your company, do you remember your first breakthrough?
When we first started, I do remember the very first time that we got a signed agreement or signed contract. I'll never forget that. It was such a surreal feeling, right? It was like an MRI imaging clinic, and I'd been going there as an interpreter, and I knew them a little bit, and so I remember sitting there at the coffee shop meeting with their director and having them actually sign the agreement that they wanted to work with us. And I was like, wow, this is so cool. They're actually wanting to partner with us and trusting us. And it was a real honor to be able to have that kind of a partnership, that someone saw the value in what we were creating, even though they knew we were just starting as well, right? So they were taking a risk there. So starting there was a big milestone in just the initial contract was that one, but then slowly moving into other contracts and larger contracts as well.
Yeah, I bet that must be a really cool feeling. And like you said, a proper milestone to have the first proper contract. What you said there brings me to another question with, you know, that you were only starting out, you were brand new. And in your answer before, you were saying you wanted to do things differently, right? You had a negative experience as a medical interpreter. So kind of what is it that you would say you guys do differently, or what is like the, you know, the secret sauce to your success, to your company?
Yeah, the secret sauce I would have to say is the culture that we've created in the organization. I really believe that everything starts with the culture of an organization, and then it goes out, right? Because if you can build a strong culture with inside your walls or virtual walls now, right, then that will go out to your clients, that will go out to your vendors, that will go out to anyone that you're working with. But really making sure that you have that strong, hopefully, you know, core values within your organization, strong mission, a strong vision that can really keep you strong, keep you guided, helping your team know who we are, who we aren't, how we make decisions. We started that journey early on, and it's taken different shapes as we've gotten bigger, but really always putting the emphasis in the culture. One of the things that I've done since started Linguava is every employee that we've brought on, and we now have 75 employees right now, 72 employees. And every employee that we've brought on, I've done a culture training where I've actually done that training, whether it's in person or now, you know, virtual, doing a training where we'll go through sort of the why Linguava got started, the history of Linguava, what are our core values, what's our mission, our vision, how are we trying to show up in the market, talk a lot about customer service. So that's been something that's been a staple for us at Linguava, that it's just really, really, like I said, really important that the culture doesn't just get talked about, but that really you have to execute, you know, on it.
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like you're very hands-on in your leadership style, which I mean, as a compliment, I mean, that as a positive, not in a micromanaging kind of way, but in a, you know, sounds like you're not afraid to get your hands dirty, so to speak, as well. You're also involved and you're actually doing it. You're interacting with the team. That's my impression. But how would you describe kind of your leadership style, or what do you think makes you a good leader?
Good question. Well, I try to listen as much as I can, and at the same time be able to hire the right people so that they can be successful and be empowered in their roles, right? So I want to ultimately set them up for success. And I think that the biggest struggle for any, I think, you know, founder or CEO is to be able to remove yourself, because if you're too involved, then I see that as a bad thing. So when you first start, you have to take out the trash. You got to help with accounting, help with sales, help with scheduling, everything. But as we get bigger, you know, really being able to take that step back, so you're focused more on where we're headed and helping the team see where we're headed, and so that they know how to show up in their individual roles. So really helping empower and build leaders is, I think, the best thing that I can do. And that's something that I try to do.
Throughout your career, whether that's now at Linguava or, you know, other careers you had before, what was the biggest challenge you ever had to overcome?
One of the biggest challenges that I had early on at Linguava is that I had a partnership that failed, and I started the company with my dad, which was great. That worked out really well. We also brought on someone else that was a partner in the company. And a couple of years in, that partnership failed, and we had to go our separate ways. And so, just being a couple of years old, that was really, really challenging to know how to respond from that. It was a very difficult, sort of a darker moment. But the good part about that was that really it ended up opening up so many more doors for us. It was the right thing, the right opportunity. It just wasn't the right fit, I think. And it ended up allowing us to grow a lot better and bring in the right team from there. So it was a tough moment, but ultimately led to much more positive growth.
Would you do things differently if you were doing it again? Like, what's your takeaway? Obviously, it looked like it had a positive outcome in the end. But just overall, what's your the lesson out of it, you think?
With any partnership, when you're entering into a partnership, you want to go slow, and you want to really make sure that you're making the right decisions. Partnerships can be great, and partnerships can fail, right? So you really want to make sure before you're getting into that, since you do have you can control the timing of it, making sure that you're really taking the steps and doing your due diligence, and going slow is always better, because as soon as then someone is in that kind of role, things can change and different personalities can come out. So I would say that's an important one. The important takeaway. I think the other big thing that I've learned just over the years is just the value of process, right? The value of when you first are starting, right? You're figuring out everything for the first time, and just the importance of trying to establish those processes for your company, for where you're at, and maybe when in your early on, but starting those processes early so that it helps set up the team for success. Yeah, another lesson would just be the importance of building up your leaders, right? I think that the best way to know that you're a good leader is that you're building up other leaders. Mm-hmm. So constantly asking ourselves is who am I investing in right now? Who am I helping become a stronger leader? Because if I'm not focused on building up anyone else, then that means I'm just focused on myself or my head's down, or I'm not thinking about empowering the leaders that we already have on our team. So mm-hmm. I think that's a really important takeaway.
Yeah. And is that one way that you would kind of measure success for yourself as well? Or what does success mean to you?
I think it was Earl Nightingale that said, success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. So no matter what you're doing in life, it could be raising your family, could be working any job at all. But as long as you're making progress and it's something that you see as valuable, you find value in, then you're moving forward, right? I think that's really the ultimate message there. So it's not about what the world says is successful or Instagram says is successful, but what do you see? What do you value? And if you're moving towards that, making progress. So I really like that, because I think a lot of times the media kind of skews what success should be, right? Mm-hmm. And then we end up chasing something that we don't really maybe even care about.
Yeah, I 100% agree. It's a very subjective and personal thing as well. Can you share what it is in your case? What does this mean to you, this progression and these values that, you know, come out as a form of success for you?
For us at Linguava, it's the being able to live out our mission more as we grow. So the more that we grow, then the more people that we can serve. So we always talk about every quarter is how many individuals we impacted that because of the services that we provide, they were able to show up and participate in their healthcare. They had a seat at the table that otherwise they might not have had. And so that's one of the important parts about really trying to be a mission-driven organization and remembering the individuals that are on the other end of receiving our services and how are we impacting their lives on a day-to-day basis.
Can you share a success story with us, or just, because we looked at the challenge earlier, right? I asked you what was the biggest challenge you ever overcame. And then on the flip side, where did you have like the biggest win or success or just something like a positive story that you can recall?
I think that, you know, for us being able to build out our team and see employees get promoted and creating new opportunities for them. Whereas maybe someone started off in scheduling and then they got promoted to a coordinator role and now they're in a manager role. It's really, really amazing to see their journey and how they're able to now elevate themselves and grow as a new contributor and leader in the organization. And some people now being with us for 9 years as well. Linguava is only 13 years old. So we have some employees that have been with us for almost the entire time, whether as an interpreter or as an employee. So it's pretty cool to see. And similarly with our clients, I'd say another big success for us is keeping our clients that we've had for a very long time. And when we get clients, we really do, I think we do a good job of being able to keep them and helping them grow and helping them build their language access program together with them has been a big success for us.
Beautiful.
Yeah, really nice. So David, my last question to you, and then you made it through the hot seat. What advice would you give to young entrepreneurs who are starting their own business in the language industry today?
Find your niche. Mm-hmm. So in the language industry, there are there's legal, there's academic, there's medical, of course, there's business, marketing, manufacturing, so many different industries. So mm-hmm. if you're starting out and you're going to be a jack of all trades and do everything, it's a little bit more difficult. Whereas if you can say, no, we are the language access company for the manufacturing world, or then it gives you a little bit more of a niche. You can really double down on that and become that subject matter expert in that field. And so that means that you may not be the best option for everyone, but for this industry, you're all in, right? And so then you can really hone in on your marketing and your sales efforts. So that's what I would say.
Great answer. Thank you.
Yeah, great advice. Thank you so much, David. And thank you for joining us in the hot seat. I don't believe we made you sweat.
not too much, no. I appreciate this. It was a lot of fun and great questions. And thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And if anyone else feels like letting off some steam and you're part of the C-suite at a company in the language services industry, sign up with us if you dare to sit in our hot seat.
And for the viewers at home, this was it for today, folks. Thank you so much for watching, and look out for the next episode that will be published as a video on Multilingual TV and as a podcast on the NIMSY website. We'll see you there.